Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all made it safely here. Some places had ice, some places just had snow, and some had both. So, welcome. The announcements, I think, are in the bulletin, but just to highlight a couple, Wednesday, the men's breakfast will be at Union Congregational Church, and the normal Wednesday evening program of stuff that we have going is going. Choir, bells, Wednesday school, confirmation, the works. And then on Thursday at 10 a.m., I'll be leading a Bible study entitled Christmas, the Real Story. So if you want to know exactly how many wise men really came, come to the Bible study. I didn't schedule it for Thursday evening because we only had one person come last time and she's going to be gone. So if anybody wants a Thursday evening one, let me know after the service and I'll be happy to do it. Next Sunday, the church council meets at 2 p.m. And I think there's an announcement from someone concerning the beautiful things that are in the fellowship hall.
Well, we just want to invite you to come in there, have a cup of coffee and a cookie, and look at all of the items that we have left. There's such unique items, and you might find something for that neighbor down the block or your eye doctor or
or your pastor.
Or just somebody, just a gift, because they're such unique and inexpensive items. And so come in and check them out. This is what we had left from our sale at the Children's Center yesterday.
All right. Any other announcements? Yes?
There are books downstairs. They're working on the library, deleting some things because they were duplications. In years past, somebody had told me that you can mail old Bibles to the soldiers that are across the water. Does anybody have a contact or know where I can start that source?
I would take it to the American Legion or to the American Legion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. If there are no other announcements, let's begin. The service continues with the confession and forgiveness, which is printed in your bulletin. And please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We have a treat for you.
You may be seated. We're going to try something a little different this year. You have a black or red folder, and you can all turn it to page 40 in there by the numbers. There's not 40 pages. but we are going to, Mel's going to play this, Julie will play the melody on the piano, and half of our players here this morning have never played a bell before, so this is called like a maiden voyage, you know, and we don't know how it's going to turn out, but the goal of this is that we can sit down and you have in front of you a bunch of Christmas carols, you can pick one and the bells can play it. The bell music is real easy, and so as you know, so we have three verses to O Come, Emmanuel. Y'all found that page 40 in your book?
In the, it's in the either the red or the black notebook.
Notebook, yeah. It's not in your
not in the regular.
Don't go to your hymnal.
If we went to the hymnal, we'd get to sing eight verses.
So this is just three verses.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start the bells with one, two, three. Oh, come, oh. Okay, that, and you know where to come in then. Okay?
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Transformed by grace, we may walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Advent is from the 35th chapter of Isaiah. The prophet describes the return from the Babylonian captivity as a joyous procession to Zion. God's coming reign will bring a renewal of creation in which health and wholeness will be restored. There is no need for fear, for God is coming to save. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your Lord. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless shall sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of the jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 146 responsibly inside the back cover of your bulletin. Happy are they who have the Lord of Jacob for their help, whose hope it is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
At this time, we'll light the Advent candle, and I'll ask Tessa to be our acolyte. And I just had a thought. Do you have the lighting of the Advent wreath in your bulletin? Or a song there? Evidently not. It'll be a solo. Advent is a time to wait. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. During Advent, we wait for light in the darkness. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. During Advent, we wait for freedom from captivity. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. During Advent, we wait for comfort in sorrow. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. During Advent, we wait for power in weakness. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In many ways, Advent can be seen as a journey toward Christmas and beyond. The lighting of the first Advent candle reminds us of that light of hope coming into the world.
A flame warm and bright, a candle of hope in December's dark night, while angels sing blessings from heaven's starry sky. Our hearts we prepare now, for Jesus is nigh.
The second reading is from the fifth chapter of James. In anticipation of the Lord's coming, Christians are called upon to cultivate patience rather than discontent. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi.
He's
looking at me. Okay. Do you know what patience is? What is patience? You wait for something. Are you very patient? Are you really patient? Uh-huh. Do you ever have things under your Christmas tree and you just can't wait to open them? Do you have that? Never? I have some things here that we might have to wait for. What would that be a symbol of? A cross of... Yeah, and you know what it's made out of? A palm branch. We have that on. So if I wanted to use this, I have to wait till Palm Sunday, right? And what would this be a symbol of? Easter, right. So I have to wait for Easter, and I have to be patient, right? And... Did you see any Christmas trees or decorations downtown? Yeah. Did you? Aren't they beautiful? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do we have to wait for there? The parade. When's the parade? Yeah. Is there a parade next Saturday? Somebody told me there was. So we have to be patient and wait for it, right? Well, this is also a symbol of a chicken egg, right? And what happens if a hen sits on a chicken egg long enough? It incubates it, and what comes out? A chicken? A chick comes out, right? But you have to wait, right? Until it turns into a chicken. Because if you don't, it won't live, right? No, you're right. You know, when I was a little boy, we had some ducks. And one of the duck eggs was cracking. And you could tell that there was a baby duck in there. And I thought, well, I'll help the baby duck out. I didn't want to wait for it to be born by itself. So I helped it out. Guess what? It died. I was so sad because I wasn't patient. I didn't wait. Well, this particular egg doesn't have a chicken in it, does it? But it has something else.
stone. Would you like one? And there's a friend back there. You want to give her one of those?
Okay. All right. Well, let's patiently wait for Christmas, shall we? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our world, and thank you for giving us patience when we don't have it very well. Amen. One of the first times that Sue and I went overseas to Europe, we were trying to pack bags. We were going to be gone for a month. And we were really debating about how much stuff we could get into our suitcases without each having to carry two of them. And it just seemed like an impossible task. Well, we had a friend who was a contractor who traveled a lot overseas. And we were telling him our dilemma, you know, what do you put in a suitcase? And he said, well, I do it all the time, and I'm able to carry one carry-on with everything that I need. And we asked him if he'd show us how to do it. So he and his wife came over, and we laid out all the stuff we wanted to take, and he went through it, and he said, you really don't need that many clothes. Well, we're going to be gone a month. It's okay, you have to wash along the way, but if you take everything, you're going to need bigger boxes to put them in. So he narrowed down what we could take, and then he showed us how to roll and stuff and put it all together so that in the end, we were able to carry, to use one carry-on bag each and made it through a month in Europe. And there were several things in the bag we didn't even need to use. Amazing how you can do it if you really want. But it's so hard to figure out what to take and what not to. And we're in such a hurry as people, aren't we? We're an instant generation where we think we have to have everything just perfect. I've noticed an ad on TV for a certain kind of computer. They had a laptop, but the laptop wasn't fast enough. So now you can get one that's even faster. You know, everything has to be instant. I saw a gag gift once, which was a can that said instant water. Well, I thought, that's strange. Instant water. You know, all you have to do is take water. Well, the label on the can said instant water. When thirsty, open the can. It's filled with air. Pour water into the can, and you have instant water. We have to wait, and we have to wait for the things that are coming, and it's hard to stuff so much into our lives to make life complete. And then we realize we didn't need everything we thought we did. In our scripture, one of the things that we learned in our travels, one of the best pieces of advice that our friend gave us was, when you go, don't expect to be in America. Now, we thought that was pretty common sense. I mean, you know, we were going to Germany. We weren't going to America. But as we traveled, we realized that phrase, the ugly Americans, because we met a bunch of them who expected in Germany to be treated like an American, to have the kind of room and space and food and everything else that they had in America. It was a different world. And if you've ever traveled, how many of you have traveled over to Europe? A bunch of you. You know that when you go there, you're going to get that kind of food and in that kind of space and in those kind of places. That's what we expect. And the thing is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in another country, do as the other people do. Because if you expect to have everything the way you have it back home, you're going to be sorely disappointed. What are your expectations? I know through this Advent season, I've been talking about how we are on this journey to Christmas and beyond. As you travel with the Lord, what are your expectations for not just Christmas, but beyond, for the day of the Lord? Isaiah, the prophet, in our first reading, is a fantastic traveler with the Lord. Excuse me. He has seen it and he has preached about it for many years. The children of Israel have sinned and done what was evil in God's sight, and God is trying to call them back through Isaiah. Some of them are listening and some of them aren't. The kings kind of think they can do it on their own or make alliances with foreign governments, and they're told they aren't supposed to do that. That they are to trust in the Lord. That if they will trust in the Lord, things will go right. If they don't trust in the Lord, if they keep doing it their way, gardens will be turned into wastelands. The deserts will surround them, and life will not be very pleasant. But if they turn to the Lord, that was in chapter 34. In chapter 35, which we are in today, he says, for those who will turn to the Lord, amazing things will happen. The wilderness will be turned into a garden. Streams will flow in the desert. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. The lame will leap like a deer. And those who can't sing a note in a bushel basket, they'll be able to sing with joy. Well, he doesn't say it exactly like that, but you get the point. So that's what you can look forward to. That's your expectation. But keep in mind what Isaiah has said here. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and so forth. Because we have a distance between the time when the Messiah comes. This is a description of when the Messiah comes. But it's going to be 400 years before Jesus comes on the scene. And in that time, the Jewish population and religious leaders have built up a picture of the Messiah that is amazing. But one which isn't the one that Isaiah portrays. Their image is of a warrior who's going to come in with a sword. Riding on a white horse and conquer all of their enemies and cast them out. So when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus doesn't come on a stallion. He comes on a donkey. And he even rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And now what we find is James, in the book of James, tells these same Christians, be patient as you wait for the Lord to come. Because he is now looking for the Lord to return. Meanwhile, John the Baptist is beginning to lose a little patience. However, remember that John leaped in his mother's womb when Mary came to greet Elizabeth. Remember, it is John the Baptist who baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan and was there when the voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So it almost seems strange. John is now in prison. But this isn't just any prison. This is called the Herodium. The Herodium was the most notorious prison in all of the land. It was a place of torture and torment. A place from which prisoners never came out alive. And John knows his fate. He knows that his days are numbered. And so he calls his disciples because, and that almost seems strange to us, but in many of those prisons, prisoners were not fed anything but stuff most people wouldn't eat and the stuff that would make them sick. If a prisoner wanted to eat, he had to have friends bring food. That's why John's disciples are there. They probably brought food. And now John wants them to know what he already knows. And he asks the question. Go ask Jesus now whether he is the one or there is one to come yet. And so the disciples go to Jesus. Now Jesus, notice Jesus' answer. It's not, yeah, I'm the one. Jesus defines the Messiah. Tell John that the blind are able to see. The deaf can hear. The lame can walk. Lepers are healed. The dead are raised to life. And good news is proclaimed to the poor. All of the marks of the Messiah. Everything that they had hoped for is there in Jesus. And James reminds us again to be patient as we wait for that. Wait for that coming again. Not just at Christmas, but beyond. May we patiently wait for the one who heals the sick, raises the dead, and gives new life to those willing to turn to him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through us. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
As we anticipate fullness of the presence of Christ, we join in with the church throughout the world, praying for all who are in need. Are there those you'd like to include in the prayers today?
Vicki? Mike?
David? Okay. The response to stir up your power and come is be born anew in us. Be born anew in us.
Let us pray for the church throughout the world, for all inspired and led by the Holy Spirit, and for all who proclaim the wondrous deeds of God, that all divisions and disagreements cease. Stir up your power and come.
Be born anew in us. Let us pray for the earth and its creatures, for animals of every size, for plants that provide shade and nourishment, that we see God's goodness revealed in every living thing. Stir up your power and come. Be born anew in us.
Let us pray for the nations and those in authority, for police officers and firefighters, for social workers and attorneys, that God grant them wisdom to work for peace and justice. Stir up your power and come.
Be born anew in us. Let us pray for the poor, the meek, the unwelcomed, the bereaved, those suffering from malaria and HIV/AIDS, the sick, and especially for Vicki and Mike, for Esther, for David, and those we name in our hearts, that they may experience Christ embodied in healthcare workers and caregivers. Stir up your power and come.
Be born anew in us.
Let us pray for those traveling and those absent from this gathering, for those serving in the military, for those preparing for baptism, and for our congregation, that in all we do, we praise and glorify God. Stir up your power and come.
Be born anew in us. In thanksgiving, we pray for the faithful departed who have died in Christ, that they show us the way of hope through the incarnate Word. Stir up your power and come. Be born anew in us.
Gracious God, we thank you for helping our church council, members of our call committee. We ask your blessing on them as they work to discern the right pastor for our church. Stir up your power and come.
Be born anew in us. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, those spoken aloud and those known only to you, and grant us peace through Jesus Christ, our coming Savior. Amen. Now the peace of Christ be with you also.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Understand. Rejoice. Rejoice.
And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember your new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated.
extend as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait in this meal, you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Joy to the world.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.